Hey, everybody, welcome to another exciting edition of the Pulling on Heaven podcast with Pastor Gary Zamora.
Hi, Steve.
How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I am so good. You know what I've been thinking about today?
What?
I've been thinking about David and Goliath.
Okay.
Yeah. And David, you know, what's so cool, we think about David as he's got his five stones and there's Goliath standing there with his big spear and his big shield, and David was a really good shot, right? He's got his things and he takes one stone and he tosses it at that giant and he knocks him right down. But something that we don't talk about very much, I don't know that we've ever had a conversation about David and Goliath, so maybe we don't talk about it at all.
Let's tread those waters.
But you know what's cool? One of the coolest parts of the story to me of David and Goliath is it says he took off running. He sprinted
towards him,
towards Goliath.
They did.
Which, guess what that means? That means he was pretty confident or anticipating that he was going to strike that mark.
Yeah.
Because guess what? It's one thing to stay 50 feet away and hurl a rock at someone's head. It's another thing to start going full blown, just right at the person and release it. And what if you miss?
Yeah, especially when they're twice your size, right?
You're right there if you miss.
Yeah, you're right there in front of not only the champion, but the army.
And everything.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's my best segue I could come up with talking about anticipation in the Lord, which is today's subject that we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, you know, that's really a provoking thought. You know, we believe as believers, as Christians, we believe for a lot of things and a lot of impossible things a lot of times. I think probably any faith-believing Christian has probably put themselves out there more than once just believing for the miraculous,
believing that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven.
Yeah, that's pretty miraculous. You know, that's a miraculous thing to believe for. But, you know, it can be anything. You know, a family member that just seems like they are never, ever going to get saved, but you just keep sharing the word, or, you know, a friend, or it could be something to do with your business. You know, it's something you just put all your faith, time, and money into. You just, and you're doing it because you believe. You're believing God. People make the statement all the time, I'm just going to believe God for a miracle. You know, in so many respects, we will commit resources, time to something we just believe God can do, or more than can. You know, when you're committed, you're believing that God will.
Absolutely.
And there's been a lot of testimonies, miracles that have happened because people just believed. You know, Peter walked on water. You know, people say he sank, but I haven't heard many testimonies of people that even took one or two steps and stayed on top of the water.
No.
So, you know, that was quite a feat. David and Goliath, you know, Daniel in the lion's den, and modern days, a lot of things that have taken place, a lot of testimonies you hear about people that have done amazing things and watched God just unveil wonders right before their eyes because they had faith. They believed God would do it. And we seem pretty bold a lot of times in our faith when we're thinking about business, or if it has to do with someone else, God's going to heal you. You know, a lot of ministers get up, and I've been there myself, and someone comes up with a pretty serious ailment, mm-hmm. or whatever the issue may be, and we just prophesy and declare the word of the Lord. Sometimes prophetic word flows out of our mouths, and we'll just declare this miraculous thing is going to happen, and it does. And everybody's praising God and saying, man, how incredible is that? And it's very encouraging. It's very strengthening. It gives you a vision, or the vision of a world beyond what we normally seem to contend with or acknowledge as day-to-day life. So it's amazing what our faith can do, and lots of testimonies, probably countless testimonies throughout the years from Old Testament to New Testament and moving forward. The men that ripped the roof off when Jesus was in the house and let the man down that was crippled, and he walks out, you know? So how far do we go, and how far will we go believing God for something miraculous? And, you know, you put your life on the line sometimes. You know, there's blind Bartimaeus, we call him, and he's shouting, Jesus, our son of David. And disciples are telling him to be quiet. You know, how far beyond the concern of being embarrassed have we gone before? Yeah,
the woman with the issue of blood.
Women with the issue of blood, yeah. I mean, she put herself in a kind of a jeopardous situation because she was unclean.
Yeah, could have been stoned.
Could have been stoned, yeah. But he just said, I know within my heart. So thinking about all these different things we believe God for and how miraculous it is when God answers something to do with our business or health, and those are very important things, you know, or just some situation to turn out right in your family or relationship or your church or whatever it may be. The list is endless. And yet when it comes to the idea of being free from sin, okay, and again, I keep saying this, not self-righteousness, not I, you know, am better than anybody else. None of that.
Not
just,
works.
Just thinking, if I can believe God to heal me, or I believe God to bless me financially, or in some endeavor, or give me a victory over a giant, or whatever it is, shouldn't that same faith be applied to temporary things? Shouldn't it be applied to eternal things? You know, we believe God will save us. We believe that God will forgive us of our sins, that when we leave this body, that we'll be in the presence of the Lord forever. You know, that's...
And be sinless then.
That's a big, that's a lot of faith. What is the difference between believing God can change your attitude, change your business, change your relationship, and yet people struggle so much with believing that he can cleanse your consciousness of old sins that you were bound up in, or free you so you're not constantly feeling like you have to repent every day because you're going to sin every day? Why is it we can apply the faith of God to day-to-day life, extreme things, where we put our life on the line, all our finances, our resources, but when it comes to sin, we seem to back down. We don't seem to be as courageous or as bold in believing that
we anticipate is going to fail.
Yeah.
Or we're going to fail.
Exactly. Now, you might, you step into a situation where maybe you've taken all the resources, all your, if you have any savings or all your savings, or when you put it on the line, and maybe your knees are shaking a little bit, but you do it because you believe, you just believe. But what about having an identity that mirrors Christ, not considering your own works? You don't really have any skin in the game here.
Yeah.
You know, because he bore his on the cross.
You're right. What are you risking?
Yeah. What are you risking here? What skin do you have in the game? And what do you have to gain if you put your life on the line and say, it is no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that's living in me, and I'm going to believe that with every fiber of my being. I'm going to believe that the Lord has made me free, and I'm going to begin to declare it. I'm going to begin to prophetically declare, I am free. When the Son is made free, is free indeed. And what if I begin to believe that serving God just really isn't that hard? Believing God just really isn't that hard. What if serving God is not difficult? What if it's my approach that makes the idea of serving God difficult? Because am I saying, when I'm saying it's difficult, am I saying it's hard for me to give up my will and accept his as my life? You know, is it hard because I'm saying, well, I really don't want to step out there and believe that hard, because I really don't want it all his way. I want some of my will involved. I'm praying for God's will, but am I really asking for God's approval on my will? Is it his approval I'm seeking, or is it really his will that I'm seeking?
Wow, that's so good, because if I'm praying for you and you're sick, I'll put all my energy into that. If I'm praying for something I want, a new house, I'll put all my energy. If I'm praying for a business, because it's benefiting something I want.
Yeah.
You know, even unselfishly, I want for you to be well. I might not benefit from that. I mean, I would benefit from that, but
yeah,
like
exactly
what you're saying, but when we pray to that complete surrender to him, we're anticipating that it's not a good thing in a lot of ways. It's either not going to work, or it's going to make us miserable.
Yeah, exactly. And again, considering the other things we talked about, you know, business and relationships and different things. You have some skin in the game, okay? But when it comes to believing that you can really be free and stop struggling with the same addiction to sin, whatever that is, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. I believe one of the reasons people don't is because they don't really have faith. They don't really believe. Jesus said it a couple of times. Where is your faith? Why is it you are doubting? Why is it you're doubting? And it's because we are not acknowledging Christ in the position in our lives that we should. We are seeing him on such an exterior, in such an exterior position, such an exterior relationship that it's kind of like having a long distance conversation or relationship with someone. You don't really feel that they're really present, you know, or do we think that God's just not really interested? I've said it before, we approach God sometimes as though he either doesn't know, he doesn't care, but the third one is the real one, and that's what we should do, or that he is Lord over all.
Yeah.
And the first two don't count because we don't benefit anything, nor is God pleased with that. He is Lord of all. He does know, he does care, and he cares for us. The word says he know that he cares for you. But it is doubt. Doubt is the culprit. Mm. It's not the devil, it's not sin, and it's not the devil and sin because Jesus overcame both. It's doubt. And doubt is something that we overcome. It's our honor, it's our blessing, it's what we can bring to the table is our faith.
Yeah.
You know, I've said before, the one thing that God doesn't have is our faith, our love, until we bring it to him. That's why he says, come before me, you know, present yourself a living sacrifice. We have to come and we have to believe. So why is it so hard to believe that we can actually live a righteous life? Why is it so hard to believe that we can keep the word of the Lord? What is it? It's doubt. It's not a spiritual force that's fighting against us. It's not that we are so weak that we can't do it. It's not that we have lived this way so long that we can't change. Because if we really believe the scriptures regarding salvation, the word says we become a new creature in Christ.
Yeah.
So we can't blame it on the past. So we have to put that idea away. Step number one, put the idea of the old you away. You're buried in baptism with Christ. And what about being too weak? You will receive power, the word says, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So there are two elements to the equation we have to get rid of right there. We have to throw away. Because it's not about who we were, and it's not that we're not strong enough. It's unbelief. It's doubt. Wow. If you believe in me, Jesus would say, if you believe, if you will believe. He even asked one time, he asked several times, do you believe? Do you believe I can do this? Blind men, do you believe? We believe, Lord. And they were healed. I mean, someone that's blind all their life, and Jesus simply says, can you believe? I believe. Healed. The power of God will transform us in every and any way that the Word of God says he will if we don't doubt in our heart. The Word says, if you believe and doubt not in your heart, whatever you ask will be done. Well, shouldn't we be asking, if we have a request, shouldn't it be, Lord, help me walk in the righteousness of who you are. Let me walk with a sinless attitude, okay? Not saying, what if I fall? But a sinless attitude, and this is what I mean. We've probably all fallen. I've fell before. Have you ever fallen?
I've fallen once or twice.
Yeah, a few times. From the time you're a kid to adulthood, you know, every now and then
I probably fall the most in my family.
Yeah, see? The fallen one.
I trip over my feet a lot.
Yeah, you know? But since you fall a lot in your family, maybe, you know, kind of like sin, you know, we consider that we are going to sin every day. You know, a lot of people consider I'm going to sin every day. And to be honest with you, that's not something I entertain in my mind. I just find it the wrong way to think. But people that struggle with that identity. So you're going to fall. And, you know, we know at some point we may fall, okay? It's kind of inevitable. All of us, at one point or another, childhood, adulthood, we're going to fall. So should we just get up in the morning, get down on our hands and knees and crawl so we don't fall? But that's kind of the approach to having the identity of I'm a sinner and my righteousness compared to God's is filthy rags. Well, it was until he tore those rags off of you, just like he rent the veil, opened the door to the holiest of holies and said, if you receive me, I'll cleanse you and I'll change you. I mean, is it that we don't really believe that we can be free from sin? Is it that we just really believe we can only be forgiven? For real, if we come down to it, are we really saying, I can't really keep the word of the Lord? Or are we saying, I doubt that the Spirit of God in me is enough to keep me on the path? The word says that he will lead us in the way we should go. And so what if we stumble? He said he would bear us up. So why, you know, if we don't get up every day, even knowing we could fall today, we could fall. You know, it could be a little fall, it could be a big fall. And maybe people that are watching today that said, yeah, I just had a big spill, you know, recently. But do you then start crawling around on your hands and knees? No, we don't. We get up and we go again, anticipating we are not going to fall. I've done this. Maybe you've done it before. You think you see something you're going to trip over. And it's not really there, but you anticipate that it is, and you stumble and almost fall or do fall over something that wasn't even there because you anticipated it was there. People do the same thing with sin. You just anticipate it's part of our nature. We're only human. It's inevitable that we're going to sin. It's inevitable that we're going to stumble and fall. Well, even though you may stumble spiritually, even though you may walk in disobedience at some point, even though you may fall, should we anticipate that as a way to get around in life? Should we anticipate that as that's just the nature of life? How many times more, how more often would we fall? And at some point, I mean, aren't you going to just stay on your hands and knees and crawl around like an invalid, like a cripple? God can heal the crippled. He can heal the brokenhearted, the broken leg. He can heal our broken consciousness. We shouldn't anticipate him falling.
That's almost like the leaven of the Pharisees. Because again, there was the law, which was the thing Jesus came to remove anyways, but then they put that such an anticipation that you're going to break the law, that they invented their own laws to keep you through. That's almost like we're going to get up in the morning and just crawl on the ground.
Yeah.
Because so that I don't trip and fall.
That is what the word refers to as being slaves to sin.
Yeah.
And some people, a lot of believers, when they come to accept Christ as Lord and Savior, their consciousness hasn't been purged. So they still feel like they are a slave to sin, and it's true. And it keeps you down. It keeps you from doing the things that God would do through you, from walking in confidence, coming boldly before the throne of grace. You know, it keeps you at a point in your life to where you can't do great exploits, or you won't. You may do some things, but a lot of things you won't do because you continue to reflect on who you are on the inside.
Yeah.
You know, how you come up before, you know, what you look like when you come before the Lord, stained, sin, unrighteous, unholy, broken. No, he came to heal those that were broken and those that were wounded and set the captives free, to liberate those that were bound in sin and with the consciousness of sin. We need to think about it a bit more deep, I think, than we have. It's kind of like, I've talked to a lot of business people. I deal with a lot of business people in ministry and especially in a prophetic and a teaching anointing. And a lot of them say the same thing to me. It's really hard, they say, to get anyone that really wants to work anymore. Anyone that wants to really get out there and do something. Everyone wants to stay at home and do whatever they do, you know, without really being actively involved or personally involved with people anymore. And coming to a society where we're kind of hermit in our mentality, you know, and then we become kind of secluded from reality. And it's kind of the same way spiritually. When you think about sin, people are getting so lax. They don't believe that they can really walk free. And the very idea that I can actually be, forgiven, but free from sin. Well, what if I do? Well, what if you fall? Are you going to crawl around on your hands and knees constantly instead of walking probably 98% of your life and maybe falling 1 or 2%?
Yeah.
What a crazy way to think, but we do the same when right. we reflect on sin.
We don't walk around. Me who trips all the time doesn't walk around thinking, you know, I don't know how to walk.
Yeah.
You know, I think my wife wishes I thought about that a little bit more, but exactly. But that's the thing. We don't ascribe that to any other aspect of life.
No. And it feels like, you know, it's hard to serve the Lord. It's this burden. You know, you've probably heard people say before, you know, I've told the Lord, I don't feel like being with you, or, you know, I just help me so I don't feel this way. It's got, you know, be like me coming up to my child or my child coming to me and say, Dad, I just want to let you know, I don't really feel like loving you right now or being with you. You know, you'd go, wow. Or you say that to your child, like, Dad, what's wrong with you? Because love doesn't talk that way.
Yeah.
And we need to watch. And Jesus warned us, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, that's not just the teachers back in the day, the rulers of the law. He's talking about today. Beware of doctrine that causes you to think upside down. It causes you to think outside of the very character and nature of who Christ in you. And I keep saying this over, of who Christ in you is. He said, if you love me, you keep my word. He said, I'll dwell in you. Why is serving the King of Kings, the one that loves you the most, the one that cares for you, the one that saves you, the one that heals you, the one that encourages you, why would it ever be hard to be in his presence, to call on him, to seek him? I mean, it would seem that at the most dire straits of your life, the most challenging points, that's where you'd want to be. Let alone on a day-to-day basis. Now I get saying, you know, man, I need to read the word and I'm so tired, I fell asleep. Okay, I get that. We all get physically tired. But it's how we approach God. It's the approach. You know, the character of a knife is its edge. Mm-hmm. And a sharp knife is actually less dangerous than a dull knife, unless you're handling it foolishly, of course. And this is what I mean. When you're cutting with a dull knife, you have to press hard. Sometimes that knife slips because it's not cutting, and you end up cutting yourself with a dull knife because it cuts a lot easier if the edge is sharp. So the character of a knife is its edge, and you want a knife sharp, kitchen knife, you know, pocket knife. You want it sharp so you don't have to push so hard, end up cutting your leg or your knee or whatever it is, or your hand or whatnot. But the way we get an edge on a knife is the angle of approach has to be such that we sharpen the edge. Same stone, same knife, you can sharpen the edge of that blade and it retains its character. It's sharp. But if you approach it with the wrong angle, you do the opposite. You dull the knife. I believe our discerning attitude towards God and towards his love and his forgiveness has been dulled because we keep coming at the wrong angle of approach. We're meeting the stone. Jesus the rock, we're meeting the stone with a dulling angle instead of a sharpening, honing angle. You know, the angle of approach is important, and our approach should be, you love me so much, you would never have delivered me and told me to keep your word and not empowered me to do it. You would never make living life for you, which is supposed to be the joy of the Lord. And the word says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what does it say? It's peace and joy. And righteousness, that's the kingdom. Would God really have ever told us to do something that we couldn't do? Would he tell us to do something that is so laborious, so hard? Why did he say, when you're laboring and it's hard, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke on you. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly, and you'll find rest to your soul. What I hear Jesus saying is, it's easy to serve me.
Yeah.
It's easy to love me. It's easy to want to be in my presence, but have you talked yourself into something else? Have you talked yourself into a state of doubt to where you have convinced yourself that it's difficult to do something that I said is so easy and light?
It's crazy the amount of people that talk about how hard it is, and Christianity is so hard, you know, and I'm thankful that even, you know, when my theology was kind of more screwed up, I never thought of it as being hard. I was doing it wrong and it wasn't being necessarily fruitful, but even then I didn't think about it because he's calling us into something that he's offering us rest.
Yeah.
He's offering us peace. He's offering us deliverance. And to think that somehow that we have to at the best case scenario, you know, at least do the right things to earn it back. I mean, that couldn't be more far off, the right idea that we couldn't have done anything to earn any of it.
Nothing. There isn't anything we can do. That's why the word says it's not of works. And this is what the word is saying. You don't have to anticipate failure because it's not about your activity.
Yeah.
It's not about your works. So if it's not about what you're doing, why do you anticipate failure? Do you think, if we come down to it, are we saying, well, your gift was really great, but it wasn't quite enough for me because I still can't do it and it's still up to me. And that's why it's hard. Listen to what you're saying. It's hard. That sounds like works to me. That sounds like you're laboring to just believe God. Is it possible that what you're really saying is I really don't want to give up my will? And when I don't want to do what I know is right,
mm-hmm.
then I find doing right difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm struggling against my will. I really haven't surrendered my will. Just being honest with yourself, since people talk about, you know, just wanting to be honest and open, transparent. Let's be honest and open, transparent when it comes to our life, our walk with Christ, you know, free from sin or simply forgiven for sin. We need the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. He said He would give us the power and He would lead us in the way we are supposed to go. Well, if He's leading us and we're following Him, how hard can that be? You know, if you're being led by a tour guide and they're leading you and telling you where to go and how to, that it can't be that difficult, you know?
Mm.
He's not asking us to climb Mount Everest, you know? He's just saying, follow me. He said, I'll make the way straight. I'll make it plain. I'll make it sure. That's the love of God. Let me read a scripture.
Yeah, please.
It's in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. If I love God, Jesus said, I love Him, it's really not that difficult. And if it's by works, if it's so difficult, then it's by works and not by grace again, okay? But what He's telling us to do is God's design for our lives.
Yeah.
When we keep His word, and if you believe, according to your faith, be it unto you that you can keep His word, you'll keep His word. Well, what if I stumble? Well, then get down on your hands and knees and crawl through life because you may just fall sometime. So is that the approach you want to take? No one would take that approach. But we do when it comes to walking obediently and saying, you know, that it's hard to serve a loving God who has shown us nothing but love and compassion and mercy and grace and gives us peace and joy. That seems easy to me.
Yeah. Well, and then when you think about it too, when you think about, okay, so what are the commandments that He's talking about? Well, a lot of it has to do with how you live your life. But if you talk about what are His two main commandments, it's love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you committed to doing just that, it's hard to stumble with those two things if that's your intent.
Exactly.
And if your intent is to love the Lord and to love your neighbor and you're proactive in that, everything else so begins to fall in line because your focus is there and it's not about what else you do.
Yeah, exactly. It's about what He has done. It's a gift. It's called a gift. The gift of redemption, the gift of salvation, His grace, His love, His mercy. Well, it goes on to say this, and His commandments are not burdensome.
Mm, yeah.
Okay? So let's read it all. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. They're just not hard. For everyone who has been born of God,
everyone
overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Pretty much says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just a little repentance. Change your mind. And say, it's not my works. I'm not going to say that out of one corner of my mouth and then out of the other, contradict myself. I'm not going to say, it's not by works that I'm saved. And then yet, on the other hand, say, it's so hard to serve God. Wait, you just said it wasn't by works. Now you contradicted yourself by saying it's so hard. So is it hard by works or is it a gift of faith? What do you believe? If we can believe God to do great and wondrous things in our lives, why can't we believe that He, through us, can keep His word in us? And it's not hard, because it is not me. It is the Spirit of God in me that empowers me to keep His word. And again, Jesus said, when the Spirit comes on you, He didn't say you're going to bear witness of you, you're going to bear witness of how hard it is. He said, you're going to bear witness of me. It is finished. My yoke is easy, my burden is light.
Wow. You know, the scripture, there still remains a rest.
Yeah.
You know, and he's talking about people who believe in him.
Yeah, people who believe in him. There therefore remains a rest unto the people of God. He said, it's been here for a long, long time, but they won't enter in because they don't believe. That's it. You're not fighting sin, you're fighting unbelief. So get into the word, see the salvation, read it again. Read it again and take yourself and how weak you are out of the equation and just consider yourself dead in sin. And he came, removed your sin, ripped off the garments from the grave, and don't let the grave talk to you anymore. Don't be grave bound. Be heaven bound. Be God bound. Be kingdom bound. Be God minded, kingdom minded, and give God the glory for what he's done. And let this mind, which is in Christ Jesus, be in you, that he humbled himself to the authority and the power of God and became obedient to God. That's the gift. And it's not hard. It's a gift, and it's by grace that we are saved and through faith, not of our own works. So maybe start changing your dialogues, the way you converse and communicate about God and the way you talk to other people about who you are, and start saying, it's not hard to serve God. Because it's Christ living in me. It's his life. We can't say that we are unworthy and we were sinners and we were saved and Christ removed that, but that still lives with me and it's still a part of my life. If it's dead, the word says, how can you believe that you can live any longer therein? It's not a matter of sin. It's not a matter of being tempted. It's a matter of unbelief, and that's all it's a matter of. And if you will believe, you'll be freed.
Mm. Amen. Wow, that is a lot to sink your teeth into. Pastor, thank you so much. And thank you, just this word you have been sowing into me for 25, 30 years or something like that.
In a minute.
Not 30, but
about 25 years.
Radically changed my life. And I pray that you would find what he's saying in the word and commit to it and to anticipate God doing amazing things in your life.
And you know what? Let me close with this too, for someone that might be watching going, oh man, how long does that take? In a moment's time.
Yeah.
The same spirit that saved you in the same way you were born again, you know, just like you were baptized, in a moment's time. Because we just have to, let's say it straight and keep it straight.
Yeah.
It's not by works, so it can't be hard.
No.
It is a gift. It's not the sin, and it's not the devil. It's not the works of the powers of evil. It's simply doubt and unbelief. Repent of your doubt and unbelief and believe God.
Amen.
Man.
Until next time, take care.